of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we've been teaching on this the last few Sunday nights, and the Lord willing, we'll finish it up tonight looking at the what the Bible has to say about that. And it's a great study when it comes to these principles, these seven principles of prayer and talking to the Lord and seeing God work in our life. So Matthew chapter number 6, we'll read it from verse number, let's pick it up in verse number 5. And it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." What's the best prayer we're going to do? Private prayer at home is the best praying we'll ever do. It says in verse number 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they for their shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Then verse 9, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, we're going to start in verse number 13 tonight, but just in a way of review, we looked at, when it came to the seven basic principles, we looked at, it began with recognizing God's person in verse number 9, and that was our Father which art in heaven. And we talked about his position, his preeminence, you know, hallowed be thy name. And then verse number 10 was God's purpose, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, advancing the kingdom of God in the assurance of his will. The third principle was God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember, we talked about that order. Recognize God. Recognize his will for your life. And then what those needs that we have. Verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. What we need and when we need it, and so on and so forth. And then verse 12, God's pardon. And that was, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. How important is that? We talked about that at length. And then verse number 13 is where we start tonight. And that idea was, we already looked at verse 13, God's purity, the first part of it, where it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. And again, when it comes to God's purity and delivering us from evil, that was such an important thing. And then God's protection. God's protection is the sixth principle, that God is going to take care of us. He will deliver us from evil. And thank God that he does. So let's pray, and we'll start in verse number 13. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Pray that you'd bless it. And Lord, I'm thankful that you can deliver us from evil. You're never going to lead us into sin. You're never going to, Lord, allow us to be tempted above we're able. God, you're always going to make a way of escape. You're the great and the mighty God. And we want to thank and praise you for it tonight and these principles. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse number 13, as we look at God's protection. And that is where he said, but deliver us from evil. But deliver us from evil. Now, I do believe people say, you know, hey, that God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And there is no one greater than God Almighty in our lives. Can we all say amen to that? Amen. Nobody is greater than God. And I believe that God can deliver us from evil. God can deliver us from the situations of life. God can care for us and protect us. We know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, but you can look at it, just so we'll be looking at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we claim these verses, and I believe these verses, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10:13, when it comes to temptation. It says in verse 13, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." Now, I believe God's never going to put more on us than we can bear. God is never going to put us in a situation that we can't handle. How do you know that? Because God's going to help us handle situations of life. We all have situations of life. And anyone who doesn't think they have situations of life, don't worry. You will have a situation of life. If you haven't had it yet, you will have it. And you'll find out as you get older that situations of life keep reoccurring. And you go from one situation to the next situation to the next situation. And, you know, and God's never going to give you the straw that breaks the camel's back. Can I tell you that tonight? God is faithful. When you feel like you can't do it anymore, that's when God steps in. That's when God makes a way. And He delivers us from the situations and from the things in this life, from the power of Satan. Look over in James. And you know where people get in trouble, we forget, hey, that God is there. No matter what the situation is, standing somewhere in the shadows, Jesus Christ is always there. Did He say He'd never leave us or forsake us? He never will leave us or forsake us. Did God lead the children of Israel into evil? Did He lead them the wrong way? Did He lead them? No, He never did that. He led them in the right way and blessed their lives and worked in their hearts. And you know what? God wants to do the same for us. In James chapter number 1, if you look there in verse number 12, it says, "Blessed is that man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, are we all going to face temptation? Remember, there is no temptation taking you but such as what? Common to man. We all have temptations. We all have trials. We all have things that happen. Hey, aren't we all broke from time to time? You ever been broke? Come on, we all get broke from time to time. Are we all sick from time to time? Yeah, we're all sick from time. Do we have sadness in our lives from time to time? Yeah. Do people die that are close to us? Yes, they do. That's something we all have to face. A dear sister one time, her mother died and she just couldn't get over it. She said, "God is so unfair." And I thought, well, wait a minute. Everyone's mother dies. Isn't that the truth? Everyone's mother dies. Everyone's fathers die. Everyone does. You know why? Because everybody has to die one day. My children are going to die one day. I hope they die after me, but they're going to die one day. I tell my grandkids, I said, listen, one day Paw's going to be gone. And they said, we don't want Paw to be gone. Why? Well, Paw don't want to be gone either, but one day Paw's going to be gone. One day Grandma's going to be gone. You know, that's part of life. That's part of preparing yourself and thinking about situations. No one wants to think about their brother and sister dying, their physical brother. But you know what? Brothers and sisters die. My sister Bev was 47 years old and she died. She's gone. My brother's been at death's door for the last 12 years. He could get up any morning and be gone, and we'll get a phone call. Hey, Joe died. Joe passed. You know, that's reality of life. We're all waiting for Brother Joe to die, and we might get up in the morning, and I might be dead, and they'll say, go figure. Brother Chris is dead, right? That can happen to any one of us. And so God allows these things and we understand these things. And so it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Hey, God is, he's not going to lead us into temptation. He's going to care for us. Look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt any man. God, you can't tempt God with evil, and God doesn't tempt us with evil. Now, everyone always says, well, what about Abraham? God tempted Abraham, not with evil. It wasn't with evil. There was no evil there. And you know what? God's not going to tempt us with sin. God is never going to tempt. Who tempts us with sin? The devil tempts us with sin. God's never going to tempt us with sin. You know, we don't have to say, well, God pulled the... No, God never pulled the rug out from underneath anybody. God doesn't do that. Now, Buddha and Muhammad and them might have done that, but God don't do that. Right? I mean, think about it. Look also what it says in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Does God lead us into temptation? No. But where does temptation come from? From our own lust and our own sin. And then it says, when lust conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. God's never tempted me with anything but good. God's never asked me to do anything that wasn't good. And, you know, and I think about that tonight, that's part of, God's protection of my life. He's always led me in the way that was best for me, that glorified Him. And God, He knows how to deliver us from evil. Thank God that He did. God, when I was growing up, God delivered me from a lot of evil. Because we had everything was at our disposal. We could have had cocaine anytime we wanted it. We could have had heroin. We could have had LSD. We could have had any kind of anything we wanted to have. It was at our fingertips all the time. What did God do? He delivered us from evil. We could have messed up our lives with all kind of sin. And God, you say, what did God do? He delivered us from evil. There's been times when we could have been easily murdered or abducted. And what did God do? He delivered us from evil. And God does that. God knew one day I'd be a preacher and I'd be the pastor and God knew all these things about my life. And what was God doing my whole childhood? Delivering me from evil, from people that would have done me harm. I don't know how we survived, other than the fact that God was delivering us from evil. You know what? I did have a praying grandmother. She knew how to pray. And she'd pray for Joey and Chris, or Chrissy. She called me Chrissy. I hated being called Chrissy. But she would pray for us. And we were a bunch of heathen and we needed prayer. But what did God do? He delivered us from evil. You know what I pray today? I say, God, I'm a pastor. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from my own evil heart. I don't know about you. I got an evil heart. And you know what? If you're honest, you got an evil heart. And I say, God, help me and deliver me from the evil imaginations of my heart that are continual. God, help me not to be evil. God, help me to deliver me from these situations. Help me to know where to go and where not to go. Help me know what to say and what not to say. Help me, God, and my whole evil thinking pattern to deliver me from that evil. You know what God does? He delivers me from evil. When I'm sitting around and I'm thinking about something evil and I'm getting ready to do it, the Lord always makes sure that something comes along to say, now, you don't have to do that. You could do this instead. You don't have to think that thing. You don't have to say that thing. You don't have. And I said, Lord, thank you for delivering me from evil. Hey, the Lord can deliver us from evil. Deliver us from these things. And the devil is always there to tempt us, is he not? But God is always there, who's greater, to deliver us from that evil. Hebrews 13. We're right there. Hebrews 13, we should have looked at that. Hebrews 13, verse number 5 and 6. And, you know, and when we pray, I do pray, you know, and I say, God, keep me safe, even from myself. Keep me safe. Guide me in the right way. Lord, help my guide my footsteps today that I don't walk in the wrong path. Help me to deliver me from that. Remember we talked about David last week? Hey, David didn't have to do that. He saw what was taking place, but he could have done something else. If he'd have just gone to bed, his life would have been different, right? God can deliver us from evil. Hebrews chapter number, what did I say? Look at my spot, yeah. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. And notice what the Bible says here. It says, let your conversation be without covetous, and be with content with such things ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is the one helping us. Amen. God helps us every step of the way to deliver us from the things of this world, to deliver us from evil. Psalms 34 and verse number 7. And in the book of Psalms, we'll be there for a minute, so look over to the book of Psalms. And these are God's promises that he's going to deliver us. Psalms 34, 7. Look at verse 6. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Can the Lord save us out of all our troubles? That's what delivering us from evil is. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blesses the man that trusteth in him. You know, people say, well, I just can't make it. Yes, you can. You can make it. I just can't get on. No, you can get on the right path. With God's help and grace, you can do anything. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, because God is delivering us from evil. God can deliver us from no matter what our situation is. God can deliver us from that. Look in Psalms 23. And of course, I love these verses, but Psalms 23, and you know what that is. That's the 23rd Psalm. We read these at funerals. But notice what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's a shepherd do? Doesn't he lead the sheep? Doesn't he guide the sheep? Doesn't he protect the sheep? I mean, doesn't he help the sheep? He maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is God doing for us? All those things. Yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My head with oil, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, that's the Lord taking care of us. That's why our prayer is, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Lord, guide my path. Show me what I'm supposed to do. You know when we get in trouble? When we don't seek that guidance from the Lord. When we're not looking for the Lord, for Him to direct our paths. Because I guarantee you, the devil will always open up he'll always open up the wrong door. The devil's always saying, come over here. I mean, and most of the time it looks good. It's enticing. The devil knows what we like. The devil knows, the devil knows more about you than you do. He does. You know, when he got Eve over there with the serpent, he knew exactly what to say to her. Did she have to do it? No. What should she have done? She should have picked him up and put him down and walked away. It wasn't God that led her to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God was leading her to the tree of life. They're both there together. Why didn't she eat of the tree of life instead of eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Again, God said, hey, eat of anything, just don't eat that one. And again, that was a conscious decision she made. The devil made it when she saw that it was... See, the devil makes sin look great, even though it's poison. You know, sin is poison. And the devil makes it look great. You know, until he pulls back the curtain and see what you really got, death. You know? It all looks great until you find out what it really is. It's death. Misery, heartache, suffering. And the psalmist said, the Lord said in the model prayer, he said, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from that, Father. And that's exactly what God does. Psalms 91, look at verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Open only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Hey, now I know this is a prophetic psalm of Jesus Christ. I get that. But there's a great promise here. And that God, hey, when he said, lead us not into temptation, you know, I think about all the bad things that happen in America every day. And I said, Lord, how in the world did we escape all those things for all these years? I've never been robbed at gunpoint. I mean, these bad things that happen to people all over America, they say 1 in 5, you know, talking about 1 in 5 women being, all these different terrible things that happen across this nation. And I said, Lord, how is it that we've escaped all these things? Because the Lord's delivering us from what? Evil. There's evil going on in this, right here, in even our own city. There's evil going on right here in Chattanooga, right here in North Georgia. That is unthinkable what's happening. Human trafficking, selling people for sex, sex slaves right here in this area, children kidnapped and forced into the slave sex trade, the slave trade. Jada comes to church here. She was walking home from school, East Ridge, right down here on Tombras. A car full of guys pulled up and tried to pull her into the car. And she got away. What do you think they were going to do with her? What do you think was going to happen to her if they got her in the car? She'd disappear, become a missing child, and part of the sex trade. That's happening all over America. All over America. You say, is there any place safe? Only in the hand of Jesus Christ. Only in the hand of Jesus Christ is there safety. And what's our prayer? Lord, deliver us from what? Evil. You kids better be praying, Lord, deliver us from evil. There's boys kidnapped, young boys kidnapped all over America and put into the sex slave trade. Whenever there's a major event, when they have a Super Bowl, they will bring vans and busloads of girls and boys for the sex slave trade. They will be brought to the Super Bowl and sold to the highest bidder. And we know it's happening. You say, why don't they do something about it? It would affect the Super Bowl. It would affect revenue. It would affect what's happening in the hotel rooms and the rooms that are being rented out. What is the root of all evil? The love of money is the root of all evil. It's called filthy lucre. You know what I said a long time ago? I said, Lord, deliver me from the love of money. God, I don't want to love money. Deliver me from that. I said, God, help me to give away as much as I can. Deliver me from the love of money. Because the love of money has destroyed a lot of people. They got all kinds of schemes. You realize we could get rich overnight if we want to invest in the marijuana trade? You realize that? Marijuana is going to be legalized nationwide. And it is already a $1 billion industry. It will become a $1 trillion industry. But would that be evil? That would be evil. I say, Lord, deliver me from the love of money. Deliver me from that kind of evil. Deliver me from the evilness of my own heart. I don't want to love money. I don't want to love sin. I don't want to love things that are wrong. Help me to love what is right. And that's the souls of men, the souls of women, the souls of people. Hey, we all ought to be praying, Lord, deliver me from that. Because things get a hold of us, do they not? You got to be careful because sin is such an enticing thing and it gets a hold of people. Who wouldn't like to have $1 million? You better not love that money. Say, Lord, deliver me from evil. This is America. You can be anything you want to be. You can make as much money as you can be. Anyone can be a millionaire overnight in America if you're willing to do anything. You know what I say? God, deliver us from evil. God, deliver me from that. Deliver me from that sin. Deliver me from that ideal. Deliver me from those thoughts. Deliver me. You know what? I'm thankful. There's been 1,000 to fall on my right hand. What did the psalmist say? He said, let me get that verse again. 1,000 shall fall at thy left, at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Hey, they'll fall all around you. But God said, but it shall not come nigh thee. I said, Lord, deliver me from what's happening in this nation. Deliver my children. Deliver my grandchildren. Deliver our church family. We pray for Jada and Serena all the time. I'm thankful that they weren't successful in getting her in the car because she would have never been heard from again. And they did it right in front of City Hall. I'm just telling you, folks. That was at the beginning of the school year. There are things happening all over this nation. I don't know how I didn't become a missing child. Because we ran around all hours of the night, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Every now and then a police officer said, boys, don't you think you ought to go home? And we were thinking we ought to go home before we got arrested. But we were thinking, yeah, maybe we should go. We weren't thinking about being abducted. We weren't thinking about, and those bad things were happening then. We say, what did God do? He delivered us from evil. That's one of the principles of prayer, God's protection. God can protect us. And then God's power. It ends up in our text in verse 13. And what did he say? And this is where we close tonight. He said, and deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, forever. Amen. God's power. He says, thine is the kingdom. In Matthew 28, what did Jesus say? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know where the power is? Is believing that God can work in our lives. That's where the power is. Believing that God has the power to do whatever He sees fit in our lives. That God has the power to lead us, guide us, direct us. That God knows better than we do. Believing that He has the power to show us what to do and guide us in the right way and to take care of our every need and the power to save souls, the power to change lives, the power to use us as His instruments. It's giving God His place. He's the only potentate. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and allowing Him to have that position in our life. God demonstrates His power through you and I and those who are willing to let Him. If you want to be a vessel that God shows His power through, it's by praying and saying, God, use me for Your honor and glory. Use me to do great things. Use me to make a difference in people's lives. Use me to be a part of that miracle. That's why Peter and James and John became so great. They were just common fishermen who had no ability, unlearned, ignorant, nobodies. But they said, God, if You want to use me, I'll say something on the day of Pentecost. And Peter became the chief speaker. And thousands came to know the Lord as their personal Savior. God chooses people. Nobodies. And God does great things through them. That's what mission work is. God takes a nobody and sends them to somebody and does a great work. You're sitting here tonight and you say, I'm a nobody. I can't do anything. With God's help and grace, you'd be surprised what God could do through you. Say, Lord, here I am. What do You want me to do? What do You want me to do? Here I am. And if your heart's genuine, you'd be surprised what God wants you to do. I told you, one time God told me to go down and witness to the Iron Horseman in Loveland. Saw the guy on TV. He said, yeah, we'd love to talk to somebody. I saw that on the Channel 12 news. I said, Lord, would You like for me to go down there and be that somebody to talk to them? And the Lord said, that's exactly what I want you to do. And I said, that ain't exactly what I thought you were going to say. I didn't think He was going to say that. He said, yeah, I want you to do that. As a matter of fact, I want you to do that tomorrow morning. That's what I want you to do. And I thought, wow. Miss Lisa went to work, and I said, all right. I went down and got my buddy to go with me. I said, come on, we're going to go talk to somebody. And he said, who are we going to go talk to? I said, we're going to go see the president of the Iron Horsemen in Loveland. He said, we're going to do what? And I said, God told me to go talk to that guy. We're going to go talk to them. And we did. And I am just telling you, it was God. God helped us to do that. I'm 20 years old, he's 19 years old, and here we are talking to these guys. They're 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", big old guys. And we're telling them they're going to hell and they need Jesus Christ. And we're back there down this lonely road all by ourselves at their house. You say, what were you thinking? No, God did a great work that day. Amen. He took two nobodies who were scared to death and told a bunch of Iron Horsemen that they needed Jesus Christ and they're going to hell if they didn't get saved, and we gave them all a gospel tract. Now, I haven't done it since, and I had never done it before. But I can, man, I can tell the story. You talk about exhilarating. That was exhilarating. But you'd be surprised what the Lord will let you do. You say, Lord, what do you want me to do? All the Lord might say, I want you to go halfway around the world and talk to that person. The Lord may say, look, I just want you to go across the street. Right? The Lord may say, hey, I just want you to pass out a few gospel tracts. But you're never going to know God's power till you say, Lord, thine is the kingdom, and mine is the power, and mine is the glory. Here am I. Use me. And man, when you do that, God opens the windows of heaven to his power. And when God empowers you, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you.